19. The Gatehouse.
A few years passed, a ship I chartered was chased by pirates. We managed to escape, but only because I conjured an octilius and ripped their ship's masts from its hull. I could have done more damage, but I thought the mast-ripping a sufficient message.
From Colvenar Bryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 58. The smooth tunnel was warm, but not intolerably so. Since it was 3 stories tall, the heat was well distributed. "What's causing this warmth?" Amundel said, fidgeting with his coat and undoing the buttons. "Probably the steam vents," Ilden said. "Huh?" Amundel asked. "Hold on." The illusion held up a hand. "Calamir is shouting." Amundel continued through the tunnel in silence, nearing that veil of steam. He fanned his hand in front of his face, but that didn't disrupt the thick vapor. "This is annoying." After a moment, the steam dissipated, and Amundel entered a vast chamber hollowed from dark brown rock. The cavern rose at least 12 stories, maybe more. Strange and colorful plants, like nothing Amundel had ever seen, grew all across the cavern floor, along the walls, and on the stalagmites and stalactites. Some dwarfed him, and many had colorful flowers and vines. Columns of steam rose from small craters scattered across the chamber. 2 of those craters were beside Amundel, their steam wafting into the tunnel.
"Incredible,"
Amundel murmured, stepping onto an earthen ramp overgrown with the exotic plants. "See," Ilden said, his illusion zipping ahead of Amundel. "And there's the gatehouse." While Amundel picked his way down the ramp, he followed the illusion with his eyes. Across the cavern, and embedded within the earthen wall, stood a pair of pale blue crystal doors, 7, maybe even 8 stories tall. They were not transparent or translucent like the thick walls in the crystal towers. Strange symbols were chiseled into the doors, markings unlike anything Amundel had ever seen. Those symbols had sharp edges and looked as if they were made with sweeping motions.
"A long-lost language?" he mused. "Perhaps the language of the Ishari."
Once down the ramp, Amundel continued across the cavern floor. An elevated path, wider than the tunnel, led from the ramp and to the doors. It too was covered in those colorful plants. He was halfway across the cavern when he sensed the expedition quickening their pace. Soldiers pushed against his quintashal, and some were jogging.
"Calamir called for a quicker pace," Ilden's illusion shouted, "and it looks like I'll be joining you in the back."
Amundel laughed, rounding an orange plant whose colorful stems reached to his chest. The plant's flowered ends swayed as Amundel stepped around it, as if it were following him.
"Odd."
He continued across the elevated path, careful not to step on any of the plants. He also commanded his conjuration to quicken its pace. Amundel tugged at his coat, undid the top button, and shouted to Ilden,
"Sure is warm in here."
"I'll welcome the warmth," the illusion shouted back. "I don't care much for the cold."
The cavern floor beneath the doors was covered in just as many plants as the rest of the elevated path. Now beside the doors, Amundel could see that the strange symbols were glowing, their hue slightly darker than the crystal.
"Coursing magic?"
"It looks like it," Ilden said. "Do you want to open these doors or wait for the others?"
Amundel paused, considering the consequences. Not the consequences from Calamir, though. No, he was more concerned about what might lie beyond those doors.
"Can you go through them?"
He gestured to the crystal slabs. The illusion shook its head.
"I tried when I first found this place. It's like those walls of the buildings in the Ishari city."
"Felinia had that same problem," Amundel said with a sigh. "What a pity."
Well, they needed to open the doors regardless.
"We're going to need something big to open these."
"One of your Gangolans?" Ilden asked.
He sounded eager.
No, a gargantuan will do, Amandal said, stepping back and looking along the doors. There were no knobs or handles, no hinges either. Probably opens inward. All right, let's step back. Well, I guess you don't need to. Ildin's illusion simply grinned. After retreating back across the plant-covered path, Amandal opened a portal to the Aldenal plane. The golden magic swirled in front of the doors, reaching nearly as tall as the crystal slabs. Soon, the silhouette of an earthen gargantuan appeared in the golden light. Then the conjuration stepped into the massive cavern. The earthen gargantuan crushed several plants beneath its feet, sending glowing puffs of colorful pollen, red, blue, orange, and black, into the air. But as the colorful puffs settled on the ground, they lost their glow. "Was that some sort of magic?" Ildin asked, his illusion gliding toward Amandal. "Magical plants?" Amandal asked. "I just hope they're not poisonous." "If so, then you'll die a hero." Amandal gave the illusion a sidelong glance, then guided the conjuration to the doors. With arms extended, the earthen gargantuan slammed its palms against the crystal slabs. The doors, however, didn't budge. Setting his jaw, Amandal willed the conjuration to press on the doors. With its earthen hands on each slab, the conjuration pushed with all its might, but the doors still didn't move. "Maybe you need another one?" Ildin asked. "To the right," Amandal commanded, and the earthen gargantuan positioned itself squarely with the right slab. It pushed with all its might, digging its feet into the ground and uprooting the exotic plants. Unfortunately, the doors still did not budge. Amandal let out a heavy sigh and shook his head. "Maybe I do need another." Even with a second earthen gargantuan, the doors remained closed. They didn't move at all. Amandal had since removed his coat and continued pushing on the doors until he sensed the expedition drawing near. The others had entered the cavern beneath the pit and were proceeding to the smooth tunnel. "I don't know what's going to budge these," Amandal said grumpily. He turned from the doors, moving to the edge of the raised path. Defeated, he plopped down on the path's edge, his feet dangling. The rest of the cavern's floor was a good half-story lower than the path. "There has to be something locking the doors," he thought. Throughout his efforts, Amandal had examined the crystal slabs, looking for a lock. "They're probably locked by magic. Perhaps whatever held the doors together needed to be dispelled." Unfortunately, Amandal didn't know how to cast such magic. He contemplated the dilemma until his name was shouted across the cavern.
"Mr. Aramian," Kalamir barked. "What in the nine seas do you think you're doing?"
Amandal groaned and closed his eyes. He needed a moment before he dealt with the old fool. Kalamir kept shouting, but Amandal ignored him.
"Mr. Aramian!"
His name was practically shouted in his ear. "What?" Amandal asked, looking over his shoulder. Kalamir, despite his short stature, towered over Amandal. That bulbous nose of his was scrunched again and his nostrils flared. His eyes were alight with fury.
"You insolent bastard! How dare you ignore me?"
Amandal sighed, redirecting his gaze across the cavern. "So this is the thanks I get? Shouting? Berating? I saved us all from another senseless battle, and this is how you repay me?" Kalamir growled, shaking his head.
"You're our only sure way home. If that monster had swallowed you, you could have doomed us."
"But I survived," Amandal said. "Besides, the only way that creature could reach me was through the tunnel, and I had that blocked by a portal. I wasn't in any danger."
"He has a point," Vayam said, her voice sultry. "And we did avoid another battle."
Kalamir glared at the Mindalarnian, then stalked away.
"Clever what you did,"
Vayam said, stepping to Amandal's side. Wary, Amandal eyed her gloved hand, then scooted away, evoking a laugh from her. Felinia called his name, and Amandal glanced toward her. She pushed around the others, moving between Amandal and Vayam. "Are you all right?" she asked, kneeling beside him. He nodded, then pointed to the door.
"Damn thing won't open."
"That's because you have to speak the right words,"
Vayam said. She turned away, looking rather annoyed.
"Brute force isn't the solution for everything," she said over her shoulder as she followed Kalamir.
"Words?" Amandal wondered. "Were those doors some sort of a Tebas Rawl?" Felinia ran her gloved hand through Amandal's hair.
"Ildin told us what you did. I don't know if you're brave, insane, or incredibly stupid, but thank you for preventing another fight."
Well, I suppose that negates the rebuke, Amandal thought, staring into Felinia's sea-gray eyes. He longed to lose himself in their depths, but instead he said,
"Of course, it's what I do."
Felinia grinned, shaking her head.
"Who are you?"
she murmured, then caught her full lower lip between her teeth. She looked intrigued, hungry even.
"I'll have you yet," Amandal thought, smiling.
With the progress he was making, Felinia would be begging to be with him before they left that godforsaken reliquary.
"You know," Felinia said, straightening up, "he's quite mad at you."
She nodded toward Kalamir's retreating back.
"That's what Ildin said." Amandal thumbed toward the doors.
"I'm actually over here," Ildin said with a chuckle. The illusionist was beside Dougal, Jacob, and Morjadayan. The gash on Morjadayan's face had been healed, though his eye didn't look quite right.
"Well, you look a tad better, Morji," Amandal said.
Morjadayan grunted.
"I thought I told you to stop calling me that."
Amandal grinned and pushed himself to his feet.
"Just keeping my masculinity in check? You did hold your own against those Cisthern, after all. What kind of a man fights a pack of ice wolves by himself?"
Looking annoyed, Dougal raised a hand.
I was there too.
Aha, Felinia snapped her fingers.
"So that's why you went after that monster, trying to one-up Morjadayan."
She shook her head.
"Men."
Jacob burst into raucous laughter.
"No," Dougal said with a sigh, "just Amandal. Most men are not that stupid."
"What did you do with it anyway?"
Morjadayan asked, folding his arms.
"I can't imagine you had time to make a sufficient portal to claim it alive."
"I didn't," Amandal said. "That's why it's a grand finial long husk."
Jacob snorted, Morjadayan raised an eyebrow, Dougal's eyes bulged, and Felinia shook her head, muttering about men. The look in her eyes said she did not quite believe what she was saying.
"You killed it?"
Jacob muttered.
"Shocking, isn't it?"
Ildin said, stepping to Amandal. He pointed to the crystal doors.
"Looks like she's going to open them."
Amandal turned back to the crystal slabs. Vayam was speaking in a language Amandal didn't understand, the words sharp and staccato. The glow of the etched symbols on the doors grew brighter until they beamed a brilliant white. A streak of light shot through the seam between the doors, and Amandal thought he saw the crystal slabs move away from the expedition. Were they? In a flash of movement, the doors slid open noiselessly. Alarmed gasps and awestruck comments filled the cavern. Even Amandal found himself amazed at the occurrence.
"So that's why you couldn't get them open,"
Ildin said, his tone just as fascinated as the expressions on the others' faces. Though the space beyond the doors was made of crystal like the Ishari city, it looked nothing like the abandoned metropolis. The architecture of what had been referred to as the gatehouse consisted of sharp designs, claw-like protrusions, and other aspects that made it look almost draconic. At least what Amandal assumed was draconic. Pillars spaced at least 100 finials apart lined the walls of the gatehouse, each divided into 7 sections. The same strange symbols adorned those pillars in rows and columns.
towering humanoid statues of crystal, not unlike those in Chrysian Bay, stood between the pillars. Each was unique and tucked within a curved alcove. From what Amandal could see, the gatehouse stretched on for over a grand finial. The space was wide enough to fit an entire Soroth city block. In fact, if one were to lay three city blocks, one after another, inside the gatehouse, there would still be room to spare at either end. Kalamir shouted orders that echoed through the cavern, and then the old soldier began the march into Tardalim. The end of part 2.